Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio. We on tonight. I'm your host, Coach Epps, and then I'll be joined by Coach Coop in a minute. It was a great session last week when we talked about our topic of the week, and we have another great topic for you tonight. We're going to talk about women's football and why they're not receiving the big-time sponsorship from the powerhouses such as Nike, Gatorade, and some of the other established entities out there that should be sponsoring women football, because last week was the opening day for women football, and it was a great, great afternoon all across the country. I'm also going to be joined by special co-host Lyndon White is going to also join us in on this perspective. We're going to talk football all night. We're going to talk about the sponsorships and what a great job women are doing. And we hope it's going to be a very interesting show. Again, I'm Coach Epps. I'm going to be your host tonight. And it's just a pleasure to be here from week to week and on Blog Talk Radio. And I just appreciate everybody letting us do what we do from week to week. And it's going to be a tremendous show.
Coach?
Yes.
I think it's going to be a real interesting show.
Yeah, it is. It is, Coach Cooper. It's going to be a very interesting show. We had opening week last week, Coach Coop.
No question about that, Coach. Very exciting. Looking at some of the games around the league and some a lot of offense and very little defense around. But it's the first week for a lot of teams, and they're getting their feet wet. Some of them probably, you know, more than likely may not have had an opportunity to discriminate some other teams to see what they were working with, but there's more games to come.
It definitely is, Coach Coop, more games to come. And we had an exciting contest here in Baltimore City, the opening day of the Baltimore Nighthawks versus the D.C. Divas. And our hats go off to the D.C. Divas, who did a fabulous job, and it was an excellent contest. What do you think about that, Coach Coop?
Well, it was a great call, great venue, great weather. The fans were great. The D.C. team was very professional, so was the Nighthawks. Great fans, great food. Mervo Stadium, if you haven't had a chance to come out, catch some future Nighthawks games, you won't be disappointed. The fans really got into the game, and it was just good football.
It definitely was great football, Coach Coop. I mean, it was exceptional night. Like you said, the weather was really, really nice for football weather, and the fans came out. We had, over 250 fans that came out, which I thought was exceptional for opening day weekend.
Especially for a night game with all the other things that were going on. I believe the Orioles were playing, and the Blast were playing. So we were able to grab some people from that market, which was a good thing. There, you know, football, Baltimore's a football town, and people just can't get it out of their system, and they came out.
And you definitely, and that is just the great segue into tonight's topic about the sponsorship for women's football, Coach. I mean, with the up-and-coming sports, if the big companies can start backing women's football, I think we can be even more productive, Coach.
No question. And here's my challenge, you know, to all the team owners around the league. And I know times are tight economically, but, you know, there are a lot of sponsors out there looking to get rid of some of that money that's sitting around in the banks not doing anything. And, you know, when you sponsor people and you sponsor teams, you're able to write it off your taxes, Coach.
Ready to write it off your taxes, Coach. And I just want to see some of the big-time corporations such as, you know, I know Nike makes the football for the WSL, but I would like to see them sponsor big donations for women's football, perhaps do commercials. I mean, put it out there, Coach. ESPN, show it on TV. These are the things that I look forward to happening in the future, and it cannot happen without the big-time backing of the sponsorships.
No question, Coach. You know, we talked about that in a couple previous shows, and, you know, there's dollars out there. And the only way that's going to happen for women's football is that these sponsors, these corporate sponsors, these various companies, head chips, you know, beverages, you name it, they're out there, and they're looking. I think we just need to kind of meet them halfway and make some visits, make some phone calls, send them some tape, you know, show them other women, you know, because, you know, it's marketing. And you know the number one consumer is one, you know, when you want to market something, you know, you go to women first, you know, because they handle the checkbook, Coach.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Coach. I mean, they definitely handle the checkbook. That's why I think I look at my checkbook, and it's always after, Coach.
Same here, Coach. Matter of fact, can you loan me a couple bucks? I'd really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, we all need a couple bucks because this week, guess where we're going, Coach?
Philadelphia, brother, we love city.
We're going to the great venue of Philadelphia, and you can't beat it, Coach. Philadelphia, the brotherly love city. We're going up there to host the second game of the season against the Philadelphia Firebirds, and I'm looking real forward to it, Coach.
Well, I am too, Coach, but, you know, I got to stop up there. You know, got a little competition up there in Philadelphia, you know, with the Geno's cheese steaks. So I'm going to be on one corner or the other getting the cheese with or the keys with out. But I'll be there, and I'm going to fill up for the game and maybe even after the game, Coach.
Yeah, I tell you. Always looking forward to a great travel day around the league, Coach. I mean, it's been spectacular coaching in the IWFL, and this is why we're talking about sponsorship, because I think this can really take off if we get some of the big corporate sponsors to even sit down with the IWFL officials and even consider sponsoring the team.
I think so, Coach. And I think, I know I looked at the website, and I think there's a couple places in there, you know, to promote the team, and there may be some sponsorship package. I know the Nighthawks have some, but I'm not familiar with, you know, all the other teams and the various websites. You know, some websites are still in the process of being worked on. Yeah, I noticed that one of the teams had Marriott, may have been in Detroit, but was able to get Marriott to back them and have them listed as the official hotel. So there are, you know, entities out there that are willing and able to do it. I just think we need to just get out there more and maybe pound the pavement and, you know, knock on the door a little bit more. And I'm sure we might move very successfully in that area.
You're absolutely right, Coach. And this is the type of thing that I want to venture through tonight, Coach, as we speak, because I'm looking at McDonald's. I mean, you know, I mean, why not the McDonald's franchise sponsoring women football? You know, women are big consumers of McDonald's.
Yeah, they are, and I've seen a couple of them. I think we got them on our team, too, Coach.
Definitely so. I mean, I'm going to just get our special guest tonight to kind of chime in here. Coach, Lyndon White, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the We Own the Night Blog Talk Nighthawk Radio Show.
Well, when in the night are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Coach.
Good. women's football fan?
Could you repeat that?
So are you a women's football fan or, football in general? You don't care.
Oh, definitely a women's football fan.
Very good, very good. That's what we like to hear.
Nothing like watching women play a man game.
Well, I tell you, I mean, a lot of people are surprised when they've seen the women play. A lot of times they came out was very surprised when women took their helmets off. They were really shocked to see there was women because they were just hitting it and banging and tackling hard, just as hard as any man.
Oh, I can pretty much understand that. You know, if you look at it theoretically, with some of the aggression that women have, you know, I guess they find a way to, I guess, let out some steam on the field.
Better on the field than at home, right, Coach?
Definitely better on the field than at home. Let me ask you a question, Lyndon. Tell me about your first experience when you first seen women professional football.
When I first saw them, you know, the first thing that came to mind was like, what are they doing? Can they actually hit? Or is the first hit going to be like, ow, I broke a nail, or I chipped a tooth, or are they going to freeze up when, you know, they're about to get tackled? But it was actually, you know, when I actually saw it, it was different. You know, they actually played the game. There's a lot of females out here that have heart that want to do some of the things that men do. Like a couple of years ago with the young lady that wanted to play, I believe it was college ball, if I wasn't mistaken, and they actually allowed her to play. She was pretty good, but of course, you know, she was pretty much set an example of, but she had enough heart to actually try to go up against the guys.
Right. I remember, Coach, if you remember when we were coaching back in Pop Warner, we had a young lady come out for the 11-14 team, and, you know, one of the first things came to mind, you know, back then were, you know, was shoulder pad issues. And but she was willing and able, and hats off to her, and she was rather good.
Yeah, definitely was, Coach, and I was looking forward to playing that particular year. But unfortunately, something happened, and she was unable to play. But I was definitely looking forward to playing with the guys that year. And Lyndon touched on something, Coach, is, like we alluded to for weeks now, and it's not what you think football is when you watch women play football. They're actually just playing a game of football, and it becomes quite passionate and intriguing to just sit there and watch.
No question. And Lyndon, let me ask you this, Lyndon. When you watched the game, did you look at it as a football game, or did you look for the distinction between the two? This is a male and this is a female. The male game, this female players. I mean, what was your perspective after you sat there and you got comfortable with your hot dog and your soda, and you were sitting there watching it? What was your perspective? Did you just after a while settle in and just look at it as if it was just a game?
I was pretty much looking to see whether or not they would be able to execute the plays. They would be able to pay attention. And what I found out is, you know, no knock on the men, because the women, there aren't a lot of experience in them actually playing in the Pee Wee leagues coming up. They tend to pay more attention to details. They tend to actually listen to the coaches a whole lot more rather than having that, hey, I've done this before, let me try it my way. They tend not to deviate from what exactly the coaches are teaching them.
That's very true. They do pay a lot of attention in detail, and, you know, they do ask a lot of good questions, Coach, and that's good because they're wanting to learn the game. We talked about this before where a lot of times there were women that wanted to play the game, but yet they're, you know, when they entered into the man cave, the man didn't want to teach them the game, and so they started looking at other venues to learn the game, and maybe this is how the league started, and the interest generated. Now there's over, you know, 5,000 women in this game.
You're absolutely correct there, Coach. And this is why we're trying to keep the topic on sponsorship, because it's no doubt that we should be seeing a lot more sponsors participate in the IWFL Football League. What was that? Bowden started getting on board this year along with U.S. Football, right, Coach?
No question about that, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, we really want to see this take off because I think the women deserve a fair chance, Coach, to show their skills because, I mean, quite frankly, last weekend I found it to be a very, very, very good weekend, and I think the fans enjoyed it as well.
No question. I think the numbers have been growing ever since the Pink Ribbon Bowl. We had a great turnout, another great turnout here for opening day. And I expect the same in Philadelphia.
And that's no question, Coach. Lyndon, I got a question for you. If you were a sponsor of a major corporation, what would hold you back from sponsoring women's football?
Well, I'm a very optimistic type of person. So, and I see that it would give the women a chance. And I see, women tend to back each other a lot more than the men will. And they would actually come out and support each other. Also, nothing would actually hold me back. I would just, want to see how far it would go. I guess what the big corporations need is a sense of that, I'm not going to put my money out for a year or 2 years and, then the league flops. They have a lot of examples to look at, like Vince McMahon tried to start his NFL league to see how that went. Some of the different football leagues that have come and gone that try to not per se go up against the NFL, but, along those lines, they haven't lasted very long.
Yeah, and the great thing about, like you're saying, it's all about the timing, Lyndon. And we're in a perfect time slot because we're in a time slot where we're not competing against the NFL. We understand and we know the NFL is the premier football league in the United States, and we wouldn't want to compete with the NFL, but what we want to do, we want to kind of carve and niche our own way into history with the women football league coming up, and we just need these sponsors to get behind them.
No question, Coach, and I definitely agree with that. And I think, as I said, it's going to take us pounding on the door, sending letters out, and just build it up. I think, because, this age right now is a visual age, and people see things on TV. You got mass TV, you got satellite TV. There's a lot of information going across the airwaves, especially with the Internet. Thank God the Block Talk Radio, that's a definite plus. And if we can start advertising along those lines, we'd be heading in the right direction.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And what I want to put a challenge out there, like you said, I want these big-time corporations such as Nike, such as Gatorade, such as McDonald's, and all the big corporations, I challenge them to come out and see a local game, Coach. And I guarantee you they'd be pleasantly surprised and pleased and might even take it back to the corporate and the boardroom to strike up that conversation that really needs to be there because this is the ninth year of existence of RWFL and women's football, and it's about time that the big-time sponsors take off and take notice.
Well, Coach, I have a question for you. I understand that you're asking for sponsorship and for sponsors to come out. Being as though that you're going to have to pound the pavement, why don't you send invitations to, like, Under Armour? Since we're located here in Baltimore, you have – Under Armour is one of the biggest up-and-coming company that's around. Send them a personal invitation. It's no strings attached that you want them to come out to watch the game, come watch the women play, whichever team it is that they're going up against. Take, for example, the like Pepsi is located here. Send management an invitation just for them to come out. Not saying that you're soliciting, just for them to actually come out and watch a game.
And that's a great idea, and that's what we're in the process of doing because here in Baltimore, the Baltimore Nighthawks is only in its second year of existence. We're talking about the overall league itself because we're doing some of the things that you're suggesting, but, as a new team, it's going to take time to get to these corporate sponsors to have them come out. But we're talking about the overall league, the IWFL, the Independent Women Football League. These are the type of sponsors that we need. These are the type of sponsors that need to come out and check this out, Coach and Lyndon, because women deserve a chance, Coach, because what's happening right now is almost like the old National Football League or the AFL League, where they're pulling double duty. They're working full-time jobs and also trying to pioneer and get this extremely difficult league off the ground.
You're absolutely right, Coach, because I know the league is trying to do some things and keep some incentives, you know, for the players and various incentives as far as, you know, the bench press, 40-yard dash, and then there's some other things with numbers stacked. There's some monetary stipends, if you will, to benefit the player. But, you know, it would be nice. It really would be great, I mean, to get that marketship up so where some of these players can have a little sideline income with this great game of football. I mean, because the fans are coming out. And I think once we start keeping track of the attendance, and usually what as a company, as a manager, maybe as a marketing company, just like the newspapers, you know, the main thing they want to know is readership. What's my readership like? And if you've got 500, maybe 1,000, 2,000, you know, people reading your paper, you know, they're going to start coming to you. And I think if we start keeping track of sending in attendance totals, you know, at this stadium, attendance at this game, and people see that, that's a marketing opportunity. So we need to start reporting those kind of turnout to when we're doing on each company or each team is putting things on their website. You know, start indicating how many people are coming out so that the future marketing companies will see this, and I trust you, they see that, they're going to start putting money into the teams.
And you're absolutely right, Coach. On the Blog Talk chat line, that was kind of a question that was brought up. And they were saying that, you know, more people need to be in the stands. But also it becomes marketing, because if you get some of these big-time sponsors out there to sponsor and you also market this league correctly, we all know this is a media age. You know what I mean? It's a lot of people just have no idea that women football – you know, I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Up till, we took over the team last year, 3 years back, Coach. I mean, I didn't even know that this Women's Football League existed, to be perfectly honest. And I'd have been one of those people going, women's football, I mean, where they play, where that's at, when they play, what time of year they play. And so, you know, all these sponsorship, but if you can get a big-time sponsor like Pepsi or someone to back league and start advertising it on bottles and putting it out there, little trivia inside the cases of sodas, that will get that national attention that you need, because we also need help in building this program as well as getting the sponsors up off the ground. I mean, you know, because we've been in existence, like I said, for 10 years almost, Coach, and it's about time that somebody take a chance, Coach.
No question, and it's not just even the big companies. I mean, there are a lot of small companies out there that are viable. And if we can, that could be a grassroots start just with the small companies. And I think once, you know, maybe we go down that road. I mean, hit everything, but even with the small companies, you start hitting them, you know, the cleaners, you know, the construction companies, you know. I mean, I hate to say it, but places, you know, that, you know, like sports restaurants, those kind of places, you know, you kind of hit that market, that market or that small chain, you know, that could start something. So it's not just the large corporations, but there are, like I said, there's some other mid-sized companies that are out there that could help get this thing off the ground.
You're absolutely correct. What do you think about that, Lyndon?
Well, you know, I'm guessing that for each local media market or each local area, I guess you can start with your, you know, coming up is the voting season, the voting year. A lot of your delegates, a lot of your people that are in office, and that can also be a type of or a way of trying to get it out there. Talk to your mayor, talk to your governor, talk to your congressperson. You know, everything doesn't have to be so political at all times. You know, they also get involved in sports.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about the Baltimore Nighthawks. We're here. We did a charity fundraiser event. It was at the Taste of Chocolate, Coach, back a month or so ago. And the mayor of Baltimore, Sheila Dixon, the Honorable Sheila Dixon, came out and supported us and took a picture with us, and we made the front page of the IWFL. So, you know, again, some of the things that you're talking about, we're actually doing, and I like to hear it from a different perspective other than myself and Coach Coop. And I like where you're going with things, and I'm just happy to say that we already ventured down that road, and we're on top of it, Lyndon.
But, you know, Coach, you know, not only that, but, you know, it's just that, you know, the more ideas we throw in the funnel, you know, and we got to throw, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in the funnel, and we may get, you know, 50 or 60 out of that, but we got to keep filling the funnel. And once we fill the funnel, you know, something's good going to happen, but we got to keep filling the funnel. Even to the point where when the IWFL meets in the off season with the delegates down in Texas, I mean, that's a great opportunity for them to strategize and do some national advertising. I mean, that's one thing I haven't seen, whether it be in, you know, like the USA Today or what seems to be the national paper around the country, or on an MSN website. I mean, dude, I mean, all these teams are generally making some form of a profit. But maybe if they start generally putting some money in a general fund through the league, that will then do a media blitz, public information, or anything to get a big ad out on the paper, in the papers, so that people will see it. And I think the more they see it, the more players will come, the more venues that will open up for teams to play, and of course, follow that would be the marketers.
You're absolutely right, Coach. This is what we're trying to venture into, and like I said, it's a great venue, Coach. I mean, me being the lifelong football player and coach, and the love that I have for the sport, I'm just here to tell all the fans out there, you're really doing yourself a disservice if you haven't participated or even watched IWFL Independence Women's Football League game, because I'm telling you, you will be fooled for the content of the way these women play the sport, and they play the sport the right way and keep the integrity of the sport intact, Coach.
No question. And the teams, I mean, I noticed on one of the websites, I know the DC Divas, was a couple of their players were recognized down there with one of the foundations, and the Pittsburgh Passion as well. They had a couple of presentation awards to some players, and even the New York Sharks received some recognition. You know, that's the kind of stuff that needs to be, you know, just send it to ESPN, send it to a local radio station. You know, not just send it to, you know, photos on our website or their websites. Send it out there. And, you know, more we send it, you know, some studio executive is going to say, you know, what is this? You know, he may throw it in a trash can the first time, but if he keeps seeing it, and again with that, you keep talking, telling them, you know, we had 500 people at the game. You know, we got 60 women on the team playing. If he keeps sending that stuff out, then, you know, it's going to get their attention.
You're absolutely right, Coach, and this is some of the things that we hope for and the partnership that we hope for in the future. And we know, and trust me, I understand the economic times of the day, and I also understand that anything that's in the infant stage, it takes a while. But let me just take, for example, the WNBA. The first time that the women tried to come out in professional basketball, they folded, Coach. And they had to bring it back the second time, and fortunately, it's catching on. So I'm hoping that this will do the same.
I have to admit, Coach, I mean, when the WNBA first came out, you know, I really wasn't, you know, I thought it was going to, you know, goal going to be like 6 feet, you know, the ball was going to be tiny, you know, I thought I'd be watching some Globetrotter stuff, you know, but eventually, you know, I started seeing, you know, when you watch the college, women's college football, basketball. You know, you had some brilliant stars playing that game, and you know they self-promoted. You know, you saw them on the Final Four, and those players, you know, entered into the national realm, and that just came to flourish. I mean, you had names like Lisa Leslie and all these other, you know, top names that came out, and people wanted to see them play, and that's what I'm talking about. I think we need to start, you know, promoting these players around the league that have great success. Send the numbers out. You know, you got the quarterback up in Pittsburgh. And like I said, you mentioned you got the players in D.C., the players up in New York Sharks. All these folks were just honored. We need to get that on a national stage.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Coach. And I think the IWFL CEO is on a good track because the championship this year is going to be in Austin, Texas. It's a spectacular venue, and I'm looking forward to being there, Coach.
I know, Coach, because we're going to go down and try to eat that 35-pound steak. I know that's what we're going down there for.
You talking about the takeout, Coach, where if you can eat the world-famous steak, then your meal is free?
Yeah, that way maybe you can get out this medium that you wear and get a bigger shirt. Cause I know they got a big T-shirt once you wear it. And after you eat the darn thing, you can wear it and get them things won't be so tight on you.
Well, you know what they say, Coach. Those who have a body flaunt it, and those who don't talk about it. So it brings us to the segment of the show, Coach, where we're going to talk about some of the local sponsors that we have and some of the great work. And then we appreciate the local sponsors here that sponsors us for the Blog Talk Radio, Coach. So have at it.
As you know, Coach, we were just talking about that smoothie you're wearing. I know you're trying to get your weight down and, you know, firm up them calves. That's why you need to go down to Velocity Sports Performance down in Green Spring. I mean, what a better place to go work out, get your body right, get your mind right, pump up those muscles, and you'd be shining and gleaming for the summer, Coach. A couple more weeks, well, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. You could be ready, Coach. But also, stop down. As a matter of fact, you can always go from anywhere and get yourself some new gigs. Because, you know, you can't go in there with them old spandex, you know, the ones that are tearing up down the bottom. You know, for Beanie Wear and White Marsh, T-shirts and all your other sports apparel, that's the place to go. And when you're thirsty, when you got to be working out, and you just want some coffee, maybe you don't want to sit in a place, you just want to go home and cook it up yourself, you got to go to Zeke's. Zeke's Coffee. Go get it by the pound or by the cup. Zeke's Coffee down in... Ready to go. I thought you cut me off there. Zeke's Coffee, about a pound of a cup at Eddie's Supermarket and down by John Hopkins University. Eddie's at Zeke's.com. And as always, those people tired of driving downtown Baltimore want to get out, want to stop before they rush home to the family and kids, and we just want to take some time and maybe just spend some time in downtown Baltimore and all the things it has to offer. Go down to Peace and Cup of Joe. Down on Pratt Street, 713 Pratt Street, for a great cup of coffee, great atmosphere, and just relax. And then maybe spill out over into Canton or downtown Baltimore and have a great dinner after that. And as always, if you're looking to sponsor a team, such as the Nighthawks, you can contact us, BaltimoreNighthawks.com. And if for game tickets, you can go to BrownTickets.com for all tickets for any of the Nighthawks. And as always, if you mentioned you heard us here on Blog Talk Radio, mention us, and we will give you a free ticket to the game. Well, we only got four because we're poor. The times are tight. So, I mean, I can give you two, and Coach will give up two. So that's four tickets to four lucky fans. Just mention that you heard us on Blog Talk Radio. Mention what we talked about tonight, and bring an idea. Might be something we could use in the future. Send it down to the IWFL to get this league jump-started and maybe pick up some sponsors.
Well, like I said, Coach, we're always appreciative for the sponsorship that we have here on Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio. We own the night. And if you have any comments or concerns that you would like to join in, then you can call us at area code 347-826-7278. We'd love to hear from you out there in Blog Talk land. And, Coach, I have a question for you.
Hey, Coach.
Sports, the final frontier.
What about Coach Long? You train of thought? Come on, give it to me. Give it. Come on, get it out.
Well, what I'm trying to say, Coach, is if we get sponsorship up like it's supposed to be, if we do the things that we're supposed to do and sponsorship catch on for the greatness of the Women's Football League that we are privileged to be a part of, I just got a question. Where would you spend your 40 acres in a mule?
You know what, Coach? I'm gonna tell you what I do with my 40 acres in a mule. And this is very sincere. I'm very sincere with this, because I know there's teams around that are having difficulty in finding a place to play, Coach. Finding a place to play and practice. There has to be a venue for teams to play. You know, it's a travesty. We still have these grass fields around. And teams that are out there that want to play, you want to get kids off the streets, get them away from crime, and, you know, keep them away from the bad element. And we've got sports fields, great venues, but you can't get on them. That's ridiculous. We need, and I take my 40 acres of meal coach, and I put a couple fields around, artificial turf with some lights, and have those venues set up, and just decide, first come, first serve. Because we need those kind of venues for people to go. It is absolutely ridiculous to have great venues, and they turn off the lights at a certain period of time, or you can't get on them, or they don't even have sports that are popular sports. I mean, I like soccer. No, I don't. But anyway, you know, soccer. Let me play soccer. I mean, I know there's some suburbs like to play soccer, but that's soccer, coach. People playing football and baseball and some other thing. Soccer coach? I just don't see it. But there has to be some room for football. Like I said, they're growing. We need those fields and venues, and that's where my money would go. And I would gladly donate my money to fields to be set up so that people could play and have some great stands set up. You know, take the town of Pittsburgh, you know, Steel City town. I mean, God, I mean, the team's got like, what, 3-4 Women's League teams up there? That's crazy. I mean, but, you know, that's the love of the game. I mean, the stadiums are great. You know, we got one of the coaches, you know, Coach Grice always talks about the stadiums, and, you know, in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's just amazed how, you know, that city embraces the game of football, and it shows. I mean, they've got champions up here, not only in the national level, but also with the women's football.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Coach. You know, that would be a great thing for you to do with your 40 acres in the mill. And I just want to tell the Blog Talk listeners out there that Blog Talk Radio, Nighthawks Radio, we on tonight. The opinion you just heard from Coach Scoop is not a reflection of the Nighthawks Radio show. Or we on tonight radio Blog Talk. It was strictly the opinion of Coach Scoop himself. And embrace soccer as well. Coach Coop is strictly a football guy, and he's talking from a football perspective. I just had to throw that out there. Coach and Lyndon, what do you think?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when I said you need to talk to your delegates, your mayors, your congressperson, like Coach Coop was talking about, the fields that we have that, you know, we have a lot of trouble getting to play on or getting to practice on. This is where you go to, and I understand it's a busy time and the economy is basically the number one topic, but you go to your legislative and lobby some of these areas, you know, lobby for even not just the football, for the Women's Football League, lobby the times that, like, the time change is different now. It's light till 7:30, almost 8 o'clock. The kids can't get on the field because the fields are closed. You know, they have, you know, different rules about certain things. They need to open up some of these venues, let the kids do some things, let the Women's League play on these fields instead of creating, you know, all of these different issues for, you know, at what time, who can play, when they can play, when the lights can come on, because some of it is pretty much unnecessary. Some of these fields are just sitting there just collecting just dust, basically.
Right, I mean, I can understand to a venue. I mean, some of these fields are in the community, and I can understand that if the lights are bothered them and the noise may carry over. But there's ways to offset that. There's, you know, like I said, and there's space. I mean, there's plenty of places that are open space. You know, buy those places. You know, put some money into where people can go with it, not a distraction, won't be an issue to the community, and then you could always have enforcement out. I mean, you could have the police or whoever, you know, monitor the area to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. As long as you got those kind of safeguards in place, you know, why not?
Well, you're absolutely correct, gentlemen. It's a very difficult time getting these programs such as Women's Football League off the ground, but we're resilient. We're going to stay the course. We're going to keep putting it out there. We have a great venue here at Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate them letting us use this venue to express ourselves on a daily basis once a week. And we're going to just keep keep pushing forward, because if we stop, then we know for one thing, nothing's going to change. So we're going to keep persisting and stay the course for all the people out there, Coach.
Coach, I have a question, too. You touched on a topic earlier that kind of bothered me a little bit. For a league, you know, like the Women's Football League is pretty much organized. If they pretty much keep statistics or stats in high school sports, TV league, how come they don't do it for the Women's League?
Well, like I said, we do keep stats for the Women's League. And actually, not only do we keep stats for the Women's League, we have several different incentives out there for the Women's Football League. And what happens is, at the end of the year, you know, we have a leading rusher in the league. We also have a leading sacker in the league, a leading quarterback in the league, and different areas that we have in the league of the IWFL. So it's out there. Like, you don't know, a lot of people don't know, and that's why we're trying to put it out there on a consistent basis.
I think there's some teams that do it to have the ability to do it because, again, those incentives are based upon, you know, keeping various records. But, you know, I think that we have to reach out to those colleges where there are interns that could do their papers because the games are played, you know, during that college season. I mean, not college season, during that academic season, and could be finished relatively, you know, either graduation time or carry over to the following year. You know, and that's a great place to get them at work in the area of statistics. And they could keep that information for the teams and put it in some kind of format, put it in the league, be consistent with it, and we could do that. But I think we have to reach out. We have to go out and find these individuals and go to these colleges because, you know, a lot of college programs are looking for, you know, places where kids, they can send kids for internships. So, I mean, we just have to reach out and go to those areas and find those type of students.
Well, Coach, I have something here for you that's going to be dear to your heart. ABC News in Washington, D.C., Channel 7, has broadcasted an ad, something that will be close to your heart. It says there are certain moments in your life that once they happen, you play it over and over again in your mind. The moment that it happened for a diva, the DC diva who we took on last weekend during the game, Coach, that she scored a 70-yard touchdown, Coach, and they played it.
Hang up the phone. I got the phone. No, my hat's off to her. She hustled down the. She got down the field pretty good. My hat's off. In addition, was really with her. She didn't need any oxygen, and she did kind of die out there in the corner. But that's my. Well, I'm sorry. She did get a little bit of oxygen. Coach was looking at the video. She did get oxygen, but hey, a hell of a job. Great stamina, and I'm glad she's got the coverage, and that's the kind of thing we need. You know, to promote that. And my hat's off to ABC 7, you know, to do the story on her. And that's the kind of stuff that we need. And I believe, is she a grandmother too? Or?
She's a grandmother, Coach. And I think that's why the story was so special there in D.C. on Channel 7, ABC News.
Very good. My hat's off to her. I just wish she had ran that ball some other damn place.
That's one thing I like about you, Coach Coop. You're going to keep it very boss.
I'm keeping it real, Coach. I'm keeping it real.
And it's that time segment again for the keep it real section, Coach. But we're going to skip around the lead right quick, the IWFL from last weekend opener. And we're going to talk about how the Sharks beat the Nemes, Coach.
Yeah, that was my pick for last week, Coach. As you know, I was going to, you know, put my money out there for the Nemesis to come out and beat the Sharks, but I guess the Sharks have some sharper teeth. I wasn't afraid of the Nemesis because they waxed that behind. And I think I just had to make a better pick. But the score wasn't bad. At least it was 21-7.
Yes, it was, Coach.
So, you know, they weren't too far away. Like I said, it was their first year team, but I was just hoping for an upset. And I'm going to come up with a better pick this week.
Okay, well, I got a game that I want you to pick, Coach. You have our rivals, Pittsburgh Passion, taking on the Detroit Demolition. Give me a prediction for that game, Coach.
I feel it, Coach. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna take throw some money on this. Everybody go to Vegas. Drop your quarters. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
Well, I think a whole lot of people going with Pittsburgh, Coach. They was the division champs of last year, and they always a pretty stout team. And they headed up by the fantastic quarterback they have, Lisa Horton. And, I'm quite sure they're going to make an impression on the Detroit demolition this weekend.
But I'm going to call it even better than that, Coach. I think it's going to be a closer game, and I'm going to give you a score of 32-14. Put in your book.
Oh, 32. Are you even giving us a score, huh, Coach?
32-14, Coach.
Oh, man. Well, that seems to be great, Coach. Like I said, the league kicked off last week, and we had some great stories out there, Coach. Like I said, the D.C. story was one that came to mind, and we're going to jump around the league right quick and try to spotlight some of the games, Coach. We also had in the opener, we had the World Champ. We had the Allen Dodgers, Coach, playing the Energy. And, look at the score, Coach. 69-0. The Diamonds won 69-0. So I guess Energy really didn't have any energy this last week, Coach.
Well, that's they need a stimulus package, Coach.
It was quite. We had the Aftershock, Coach, playing the field. They won 32-18.
Yeah, but they had some good play down in that. Yeah, the 59 yards of pass, 180 yards running for the. Who was that team? I just told you. Oh yeah, Aftershock. I'm sorry. So that's not bad production for the first day.
Yeah, that's not bad production, Coach. Just going to kind of jump around the leagues. The Queens over the Thunder last week, 66-0, Coach.
Oh, guess it didn't rain in that city, did it?
not too much. Demolition played last week, Coach. They won against the Warriors 34-6.
That's good, 34. But I think they're going to have their hands full when they meet old Pittsburgh. That's why I'm still sticking to 32-14, Coach.
I hear you, Coach. And like you said, also we also had the Force play the crush, Coach. The Force won 54-0.
I tell you, like we mentioned before, they had a lot of blowouts around the league, and you had the Sirens beat the Manac. I never heard of Manac. What's a Manac, Coach? That's supposed to be Maniacs.
I don't know what it's supposed to be, but they lost 71-0, and I think they're going to rename the team next year, Coach.
Yeah, well, they're going to get some more Maniacs out of the Psycho Ward, because whoever they got there didn't help.
Yeah, I tell you, Coach. We're going to look for some of the tough matchups that's coming up this week, Coach. Let's just jump around the league and talk about week two that's coming up this week, Coach. Like I said, hitting off the bill. Of course, Alvar Young did to the Hawks, the Baltimore Nighthawks, taking on the Philadelphia Panthers, Coach, in Philadelphia.
Should be a good game, Coach. I'm really looking forward to that. My players are looking forward to it. I know Philly, the Philly brother love, looking forward to come up there and just play some good football. You know, Philly's a good football town, and I expect the same kind of output from the women up there.
Also, the Blitz are taking on the Rebels this week, Coach.
I think that's going to be a close game too, Coach. The Rebels been surprising. So, I think we're going to see a little bit of a. I think it's going to be closer than what we really think it is. I would give you a score on that, but I'm going to stay away from that one. I gave you one pick for the week. That's all I want to give you for each week.
That's the truth on that one, Coach. You also got the Freedom playing this week.
Militia?
Against the Boston Militia, Coach. You know about the Boston Militia.
Good team up in there. They had a great run last year. I think that should be a good matchup, too. A lot of old grudges between the two of them, so that should be a pretty good matchup.
We also have the champions taking on the field.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a massacre, Coach. I don't think that tank's going to be empty.
Yeah, we had the Quakes taking on the Sirens.
I think the Quakes are going to be there. I think they're going to run the Sirens over.
How about the Tribe Riders and the Crush.
Ooh, that's a little too close to call. I'm going to leave that one alone, Coach. But we've got some great teams, got some great games coming up. And, you know, as always, you can go to IWFL Sports and follow your favorite team, follow the scores. And, you know, they've got websites as well. So it's always helpful if you go to the individual team that you follow, make a comment to the team. You know, tell them you came out and saw the game. Tell them what you saw, what you liked about the game, what you didn't like about the game. You know, teams want to hear that. Teams always want to get better. So, you know, tell the truth. You know, what you thought was the best, what you didn't like, and so we can strive to be a better team or a better team across the league.
Well, Coach, we reached that segment in the show where we're going to talk about current sporting events.
And, you know, we want to be closer to the NFL draft, Coach.
We are, Coach, but before we go to the NFL draft, I have to go down this road, and my hat's off to baseball. The other day, Coach, I was so proud to see that all the teams around the Major League Baseball wore the number 42, celebrating Jackie Robinson. I thought there was something wrong with my TV when I first turned it on. I saw all the players wearing the same number. I'm going, am I drunk? And then I turned to another, and I said, let me flip to another team and see what's going on. And I saw that 42 on them, too. And I'm like, man, I know I've been working hard, but I ain't that crazy. But actually, it was the celebration of 42 Jackie Robinson and all the things that he went through. And they did a great build-up, and that's what we talk about marketing. They did a great build-up, and they had various players, you know, doing little segments saying, I'm Jackie Robinson, I'm Jackie Robinson, I'm Jackie, and all the different players, white, black, green, Hispanic, you name it. They all said, you know, I'm Jackie Robinson. It was a tribute to him. So I was very, very pleased to see the Major League Baseball do that, and it was just a great thing to see every player at 42. Now, I know that must have been the crazy thing for the umpires to figure out who was switching, but it was great, Coach. I mean, my hat off to Jackie Robinson and his family, and I tell you, that's a great promotional piece on the behalf of the Major League Baseball.
And you're absolutely correct, Coach, and that's why I love you here on Blog Talk, Nighthawks Radio. We on the night because you stay up with the current 40 news events, Coach. And like I said, we're 1 week closer to the NFL draft, Coach, and there's speculation out there that Matthew Stafford will not be the number one overall. What you say about that, Lynn?
You know, from what I'm looking at, Mr. Sanchez has actually been climbing up the board. And, you know, if I'm Detroit, well, usually every first pick they've ever had has been a bust.
USC!
I wouldn't pass up on Matthew Stafford. I think he's going to be a great one in the league. And if anybody can see the kid's charisma and he has that it factor that you really can't put your finger on, but I think he's got a coach. And if Detroit pass up on Matthew Stafford, Detroit might go on 16 this year.
Well, you know, one player doesn't make a team, Coach. You know that. But that's a great start. You know, if they pick him up, that would be in the right direction. But you know, there's a lot of talent out there, and there's a lot of jockeying for position, and it's all about money. It's all about money. Who's going to get the number one pick? And like you said, you know, we had the discussion last week why I'm paying all these players that money, and they haven't demonstrated anything. So, you know, it's a sore subject, but my hat's off to them. You know, some people say they get all you can get.
Well, you know, another story close to my heart, the linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Coach. He raked in a cool $51 million this week.
Yeah, he deserved it. He had a rocky career. I mean, he was bounced around the league a couple of times, and he had one hell of a pass in the Super Bowl and ran it for a touchdown, and they gave him more money. Hell, if I could catch one pass, I don't know if they would pay me that much money, but that's one pass. That's a very expensive pass, Coach. Hopefully he will keep that up. Otherwise, he'll be on the market again.
Well, all I'm going to say in the defense of Harrison, the linebacker for Pittsburgh, Coach, he was the defensive player of the year. So he did a little more than catch one pass in the Super Bowl and return it for a record 99 yards that holds the record for the longest play in Super Bowl history. At this point, Coach, he was the defensive player of the year.
You're killing me, Coach. If he would have dropped that ball, he wouldn't have gotten no more money.
Well, you know, all come to the Super Bowl champ.
Like Jerry Glanville said, you know, 1 year really doesn't make it, but I guess that doesn't say much for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like Jerry Glanville said, you know, if he doesn't show up this year, he'd be what the NFL stands for, not for long.
Well, you know, hats go and kudos go out to Jerry Glanville because he's walking ass and run down the field. That 99-yard reception last and still in the NFL, and George still is not. So.
I think that's his own advice.
Yeah, Lyndon.
As always, hey, we had another great outing this past weekend, Coach. I don't know if you caught it, but you know, it was Green Jacket time. Green Jacket, Tiger, and Phil Nicholson. They played a hell of a game. Everybody thought they were going to battle for the jacket, and they both fell short. And a poor little guy from a little small country in Argentina, Angel Cabrera, I think it's the last name, Cabrera, won the championship and got to wear a green jacket. Now, I was hoping that Fergie, or whoever the guy's name, made a comment about Tiger when he won his green jacket, saying that he hoped that, I guess they would be serving fried chicken and greens or something like that. But now they got Mr. Angel there. I wonder what they're going to say about him. But my hat's off to him. He was a sleeper. There was another player that was that came down to an older player in the tournament that, you know, he had a great opportunity to win, but, you know, they fell kind of short. But, you know, it was great to see, but the story still centered around Tiger and Nicholson, you know, battling it out back and forth. And they did a hell of a job. And, of course, I guess playing against each other, they just kind of both petered out and somebody just snuck up in between them and got a green jacket. So, hats off, because it's the first time an Argentinian player got to wear a green jacket, so that should be interesting in that clubhouse as well.
You're absolutely correct, Coach, and that's what I love about sports, because any given day, any given Sunday, you can be beat, Coach, no matter how good you are.
That's true. Matter of fact, I want to try to get you out there in a golf course, Coach, because you look like a sucker. I mean, you look like you might be able to play the game pretty well. I might get you out on a golf course and teach you a few things.
Well, Coach, you better check my track record because I'm pretty good at golf. Like we all say, is a sucker born every minute. So you can come on and go out to the golf course, Coach.
Well, I will, but you know, I gotta pull you away from putt putt, Coach. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the big greens and the drivers and the nine woods and the irons. Come out there, hit a few balls, and you know, we'll come out and have a great time. And that's a good fundraiser as well.
Yeah, Coach. Like I said, it's going to be a great weekend. We're expecting 70 degrees here in Baltimore, so hopefully in Philly it's going to be a nice day as well. I'm just really looking forward to this game against the Philadelphia Firebirds, Coach. It's a great day for women's football.
I'm with you, Coach, and I think the women from the Nighthawks really want to show, you know, what they're capable of, and I think they'll be ready to play and get them off to another start. Like I said, it's only the first game. You know, a lot of things came into play, and I think they really want to show their talent. I think they're going to put it all together this week because even though it's a young team, it's a rookie team, they've got a lot of heart, and they're going to put their best foot forward. And I know that when they look back on the games that they played, they know that, you know, they could have played a better game, but that's out of the way, and we move on. Just like any other time, we move on. And we'll go to Philly, and we'll go up there and demonstrate our wares there.
You're absolutely correct, Coach, and we are going to have a great time. And looking forward to joining all the fans in Philadelphia. We'll be up there soon. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff, Coach, and we're looking forward to a great time.
That's great. But I'll tell you, I might be a little late. I got to stop over at Gino's and get me one of them cheese with stuff, Coach, because that's what Philly's known for. You got to have the Philly cheese steak stuff. I'm not taking Coach Rice with me because I think he might eat a little bit more than one or two.
Hey, Coach, you know what I'm saying? That's what the city of brotherly love is to share all the love. So I'm going to just take it out with our famous saying of the week, Coach. You know the quote that I'm about to say. We thank everybody from chatting on the web line, the chat line today, and for those who wanted to call and could not call, because remember, here at Nighthawks Radio, we value everybody's opinion. There is no good opinion. There is no bad opinion, Coach. It's simply your opinion.
Good night, Nighthawks Radio.
Sweet.